Grace to you and peace from God who creates, redeems, and sustains all things. Amen. A few years ago, the Pew Charitable Trust did a survey, a public survey about Christianity in general and about the Christian church in particular. When people were pressed for why they were reticent to be part of the church, because essentially that's one of the things that's growing is folks are not interested in church. When they were pressed about why, they replied, well, we find the church to be judgmental, hypercritical, and more concerned with money and morals than with people. When asked then why they didn't believe in God or why they weren't part of God's family, the answer was, in fact, much the same. That God seemed to be judgmental and hypercritical, not caring. Well, who would want to worship a God who stands over the top of the world, shaking his or her fist in judgment, saying, "You should do better"? Poor Martin Luther, through most of his life, that was his picture of God. A vengeful, judgmental God who saw everything he did and stood him in judgment. I think the readings for this morning, particularly the readings from Deuteronomy and the gospel lesson, seem particularly harsh. And they seem, in fact, to bear out this fairly common vision of who God is in our midst. The lesson from Deuteronomy pits Moses, the representative of God, standing over the people who are in exile, like a television preacher with bad hair and dimples, to quote Jimmy Buffett, shouting, "Choose the narrow way, or be relegated to the tortures of hell." Our gospel text can feel equally damning, especially for anyone who has ever been angry or insulting or lustful or strayed in a relationship, ever been divorced, lied, or been unkind. It's almost as if instead of going for a coffee at a Danish after church, a good number of us may instead be headed to a very hot place. Indeed, we all stand condemned. Is it any wonder that so many people list no religious affiliation at all if that's the picture of God they have to look forward to? But like all scripture, I wonder if there is more than we see on its face. Each of the texts for this morning get at the uncomfortable side of a person's life who is a person of faith, namely the law. I guess when I hear these texts, it's like looking into a very revealing mirror. Every detail, every failure, every shortcoming, bad thought, uncharitable thought, a deep moment of self-indulgence, selfishness, and greed come into sharp relief against the apparent expectation of God that I be perfect. It can make us feel like a little kid who excitedly runs to the line where the roller coaster is, runs up to that line full of excitement and joy, and then stands against that stick, you know, that's at the front of all of those. Maybe it's been a while since you've been to an amusement park, but there's a stick that says you must be this tall to ride. And it's almost as if in all of our excitement, we run up to this stick and we stand there and the guy at the entrance says, "Sorry, kid, you just don't measure up." Hearing these texts may make us feel like that child who saunters away, slump-shouldered and defeated. Like the little boy, we hear these words of Moses and Jesus, almost as if it were a sign put up to exclude particularly us. But what if this text about the law are not so much just about us? In Matthew, Jesus has just finished reciting one of the most beautiful and memorable bits of scripture in history, the Beatitudes. Blessed are you, Jesus says. Blessed are you, peacemakers. Blessed are you, the poor. Blessed are you who have been hungry and dejected. Blessed are you. What a gift Jesus bestows on us. Maybe the laying down of the law that comes just a few verses later is also a gift. What if the image of God is less about that judgmental, finger-wagging accuser, but instead an image of one who reminds us that our actions, small and large, affect not only us, but also our neighbor? You see, Moses stands up and he calls the people to make a choice, not for themselves individually, but for the community as a whole. He calls them to follow the law, to hold fast to God, and to commit to life itself by holding fast to laws that God makes, prohibiting wanton murder, the denigration of a neighbor with lies, and a call for integrity in relationships and care for the poor. The law that calls us to look out for one another as created, loving, and chosen people of God. You see, the law's intent is not to punish or only to punish. The law's intent is also to shed light on God's infinite love for us. And the law calls us to love one another in genuineness. You see, maybe Moses' seeming ultimatum, it's great. I almost got a little pulpit to stand up on going, I call on you today, I place before you life and death. Which will you choose? Would have been awesome. But maybe it's not an ultimatum. What if Moses' call is a plea, an invitation? For God's sake, choose life. Choose life. It's laid out before you. Choose life, he begs. Maybe we need to hear the harsh warnings of Jesus in the same light, the light of the Beatitudes. If the poor and the meek and the unloved and the vilified are to be blessed, maybe we have a part in that blessing. If we are lying to one another and killing one another, if we are focused only on our own greed and avarice and cling to the world around us, how can we possibly be the light on a hill or salt or love? We can never forget that our lives are a gift to be given away in love and not squandered. You see, in our baptisms, God did not stand there and say, girl, you just don't measure up. Rather, God said, you are my child, my beloved. We choose life and love in the law because God has already chosen it for us. As I said, for most of his life, Luther saw God as in the same way as the survey that I described earlier on today. Judgmental, harsh, unyielding, and hypocritical. But later in his life, one of his students asked him, "So Luther, what is your picture of God?" And he responded, "When I think of God, I think of a man hanging on a tree. The one who gave himself for love." Perhaps we too can change our image and the image of the worlds about God. Maybe we can change the image of God and by extension even the image of the church as the ones who choose life and life abundantly. And so the law may not be what we think. It may be pointing to the gospel of Jesus Christ that reminds us that even in our brokenness, we measure up before God and we pour ourselves out for the life of the world. Amen.